Greetings, love, sisters and brothers. It's good to be here. Excuse me. Good to be here. Another Sunday morning, another opportunity for us to, in this way, small way, worship with you, even though we're not physically together. The Lord allows us by the use of the technology that I'll say that he has provided, he's put in the minds of men to come up with, for us to be able to somewhat assemble ourselves together in this fashion. Having said that, we need to go forward a little bit, and in doing that, we have to pray. Amen. That's what we need to do. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. We're gracious to you, and we just humble ourselves before you, Heavenly Father, because you have blessed us. You have made this wonderful day. And among all of the billions and trillions of trillions of things you're going to be doing today, you allowed us to be a part of it. And for that, we're grateful. I don't know how important the part you're going to have us play in the proceedings today is going to be. I don't know. I don't know how. You're working everything out. You didn't tell me. But one thing you did say to me that, you would have all these things work together for our good. So I know, Lord, that all these intricate parts, all the people and everything that everybody is doing and the results of everything that everybody is doing is going to work together. Amen. So I just thank you for that, Lord, and pray, Lord, that as you allow us to be able to look into your word, we pray that you will grant us to be able to the wisdom and understanding to be able to rightly divide your word, that we can take this knowledge, Lord, and let it be a blessing for us as we go about our daily living. I pray, Lord, that you allow me, Lord, to say what you would have me to say, void of my pride and my vanity and my ego. But Lord, just to be able to speak your word with power, with conviction. And praying, Lord, as always, that some soul will be edified, sanctified, and that you will be glorified. For this I do pray in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. As we go straight into our message, I would ask that you would turn in your Bibles with me to the Gospel of St. Luke, the 16th chapter. The Gospel of St. Luke, the 16th chapter. And I would ask that you would begin with me at least at the 22nd verse. You can go a little bit further if you like to. Eventually, of course, I hope that you'll read all of this and make sure that we're in order in what we say. Again, the Gospel of St. Luke, the 16th chapter. And as opposed to me reading all of this, because we'll be looking from the 22nd at least to probably the end of the chapter. And rather than have me read all of that, because I'm going to be going through it, I'm going to focus on the verses that we would have to use for text. We must give you a text, and these are the verses I want you to kind of focus on, the 22nd through the 24 verses. I will read that for the benefit of those who don't have their Bibles with them for whatever reasons. Maybe you're just listening to us and maybe even in your cars, I don't know. But nevertheless, let us hear what thus says the word of God coming from the Gospel of St. Luke, the 16th chapter, beginning at the 22nd verse. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. I'm going to stop right there for right now. We read the Gospel of St. Luke from the 16th chapter to the 22nd through the 24 verses. May the Lord bless the reading and hearing of his word and sanctify his truth deep down in our hearts. Now, beloved, I'm going to share some things with you today. Amen. As always, and I pray that you take heed to it. Chew up that which the Lord allows you to swallow, to take in, and then you swallow it. Let it be good for you. Sometimes the word of God doesn't seem like it's good to us. You know what I'm saying? When you were kids and your mother made you eat those nasty Brussels sprouts or spinach or whatever it is, you didn't like it. But your parents knew that it would be good for you, help build your bones and your muscles up. Well, the word of God works a lot the same way. It helps build us up spiritually. Sometimes it's not good to us, but it's good for us. A lot of people take a very a nonchalant attitude towards hell. I haven't given you my text yet on purpose, my subject yet on purpose. Just stay with me. They take a very nonchalant attitude towards hell. I mean, you got a lot of people that they're quick to tell somebody to go there. They don't mind telling other people that they're probably going to go there themselves. I've heard people say this. Yeah, I'm probably going to wind up going to hell and all. And like I said, they say it so nonchalantly, just that cavalier attitude about it. Okay. They mention that they will have plenty of company there. That'll make it all right. On top of all of this, the people who take these attitudes act as if it doesn't matter if they go to hell. Like there isn't a better place to have to spend eternity. Now, I want you to think about that. Someone takes such a, I hope you're not one of those who takes such a nonchalant attitude. Yeah, I'll probably go to hell. Don't you realize you're going to have to spend eternity there? We're not talking about going to Disneyland, Disney World, Dorney Park, something like that. We're talking about going to hell. Now, there's some things that a lot of us stay in denial of, but we need to let this register in our mind that one day we are going to die. Let that register in your head for a moment. You're not going to live to be a million years old. You're not going to live to be a billion years old. Okay? You're not even going to live to be 1,000 years old. One day you're going to die. And if you're one of those people who believe that once you die, that's the end of everything, well, I don't know what to say to you. Well, I do know what to say, but I'll say this instead. You have read and heard stories of people who lived, oh, they lived 500 years ago, 1,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago. You know, and you read about them. And one thing they all have in common, they all died. What makes you think you're going to do something different? They all died. Now, you say you choose to believe that's the end of everything, in spite of the sermons, the preachings, the teachings that you heard from various different religions and cultures and cults and organizations and whatever other names you want to put on some of these groups of people who choose to live the way that they choose to live. We believe what thus says the Word of God, the Holy Bible. Okay, that's what we believe here. So, anyhow, these people that take this nonchalant attitude about hell, they act as if, so what? I get to go to hell. Even a lot of these people who believe that, who take that attitude, okay, they get brochures, they look at newspapers, they go to the internet, and they even go by the reputation and word of mouth about from other people about places they are thinking about traveling or vacationing to. You're thinking about, oh, I'm thinking about going to Aruba. Let me see what Aruba is about. Let me see where I'm going to stay, what they're about. Okay. If they plan on flying, they'll investigate and see where I can get the best price. Or I don't want to have layovers. I want to go straight through. Or maybe they're the ones who like to have layovers. Where are we going to be laying over and all of that? You investigate. You look into all of that. You look into your travel arrangements. You're looking into where you're going. You do all of that. Why don't you do the same thing about hell? If you are so convinced that you're going there, if you believe that you're going there, even if you plan to go there, have you done any investigating about it? Now you're saying, well, I don't see anything in any newspaper about hell, or I've never seen any brochures. Now there are some different people and organizations and cults and all that stuff. When I see on the internet, depending on where you're going at looking, I see all of that. Here, we preach what thus says the Word of God, as it is written in the Holy Bible. Have you searched there? Have you searched there? Especially those who say that they believe in God. Are you afraid if you search in the Bible, you'll start believing God and believing what he says? This is the place where you can get an accurate account of what hell is like. Right there in the Holy Bible. And for those of you who've been taking the attitude and acting so nonchalant and cavalier about what hell is like and not, laughing and joking. Yeah, my buddies will be there, my friends and other people I'll get to see, like you're going on vacation. Let's see what the Bible has to say about it. Okay? So as we look into the Bible, into the Word of God, in our text for today, we'll be looking at nine things. I'm not saying it's only nine, but I'm just going to point out nine things just coming from our passage of scripture, our text for today, to consider about hell. Nine things to consider about hell as you decide our subject for today, which is simply, is hell a place you really want to go to or send someone else? Let me say that again, in case you missed that. This is our subject for today. Is hell a place you really want to go to or send someone else? As you ponder that, I hope you still, those of you who have your Bibles with you, I still hope you have them open to Luke's gospel in the 16th chapter. Okay. And as we go to that 22nd verse, okay, prior to that, you had read more about the encounter between the rich man and Lazarus. Just to give you a little brief synopsis, we understand that Lazarus was one who was out, who was begging, and he had made his way to this rich man's table, this rich man who dines so sumptuously every day. Oh, dined well every day. Okay, and Lazarus made his way to his table just to get maybe the crumbs, the droppings that would fall from his table. The rich man had these dogs. I could see him. Well, you got this begging guy here in my house. Muttley, go get him, said the dogs. But the dogs had so much compassion for Lazarus, they felt not only did they not go bite him or anything, they l actually licked the sores that was on his body. They had, even the dogs felt sorry for him. And we know that in time, Lazarus died. And the rich man died also. Lazarus died and went to rest in paradise. We see him side by side in the bosom of Abraham. The rich man died. They buried him. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes. And this is where we're going to pick this, the rest of the story up, because it says right there in that 22nd verse, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. Oh, wait a minute, I'm sorry, it says something else. He lifted up his eyes, being in torments. Wait a minute. Lazarus, wait a minute. We got like two hands here. Lazarus is at peace, resting in the bosom of Abraham. But on the other hand, in hell, where this rich man finds himself, he is in torment. I didn't say just pain. I didn't say he's aching. I didn't say he's under the weather, feeling poorly. He is in torment. Torment. And not only that, in torment, he sees Abraham afar off. I'm not going to go into teaching about how that could happen. If you want to know that, we'll talk about that later. Contact me. We'll go back into it and into our Bible study. We've talked about that in the past. I'm more than willing to share that with you. Okay. And seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Now he sees that. He sees, he said, I'm trying to picture that. Now, picture it this way. Some of you have traveled and you've traveled downtown and you've traveled where there were different restaurants, maybe side by side or every so often. And you've looked in these windows and you've seen people dining, eating their different meals, enjoying themselves. You might even been hungry at the time. I'm not saying that you were starving or destitute, and maybe you were. And maybe looking at them made you hungry. Well, there's nothing you said I can do right this moment because this big old glass is in between us. But this is kind of what it was like between the rich man and Lazarus. He's in torment, but he can just look and see Lazarus being comforted at peace. And seeing this, he cried out. He cried out to Abraham. Don't forget this. This is important. He cried out to Abraham and he said, "Have mercy. Have mercy. Let me go through this thing here. This is the text. We just read this. Let me go on through here. I said I'm going to tell you nine things. Okay, believe it or not, I've already told you two. But let me go right back and repeat the very first thing. One, he was in torment. I said, I'm going to tell you nine things about hell, about this place. You really, before you decide if you really want to go there, since somebody else there, I want you to think about these nine things. Okay, first off, people that are in hell are in torment. They're in torment. You're not there resting. You're not there taking it easy. You're not there vacationing. You are in torment. That's one thing you need to understand. You're in a place of torment, and on top of that, you're able to see others who are being comforted where they are. Terrible, terrible. Number two, your torment is so great, okay, that you will cry out for mercy from anyone you think that can help you. In this case, he looked up and he sees, notice this is afar off. He saw Lazarus resting in the bosom of Abraham. We know from other passages of scripture that Lazarus was not the only one that was in paradise. But can you imagine? This is somebody you had an opportunity to do something well for, somebody who was hungry, and you had the opportunity to say, to share food from your table. You were rich. You had plenty of food. And all you had to do was tell one of your servants, yes, if you did not even want him to dine at your table, which would have been no problem, because from what we've read and seen, even in the movies, they got them old long tables. He said, maybe Lazarus didn't smell that well. Okay, and let him sit down the other end of the table, make him a plate, let him eat. But no, you want to sick your dogs on him. Okay, you wanted nothing to do with him. So with whoever else he may have seen in paradise, I don't know. Whoever else he may have seen there, his eyes was focused on somebody he recognized right off, and that was Lazarus. And as he looked and saw Lazarus resting in Abraham's bosom, his attention was drawn right to Abraham. Now, like I said, I'm not going to go all that deep in this. I'm just going to say this here. Abraham wasn't in charge of paradise. He didn't make it, didn't own it. But yet, he cried out to Abraham. I just want to put that thought, I'm just throwing that out there. You say this, why did he say that? Just stay with me. I'm going to leave that be. Okay? That's the second thing I want you to think about. Number nine, mercy. He cried out to Abraham for mercy. You're saying to yourself, well, he didn't show mercy to Lazarus, but yet he wanted mercy and he asked for it, begged for it. Okay. That's number two. Number three. So why was he into, why did he want mercy? In that 24th verse, he says, I am tormented in this flame. What you did, what he said. That word torment again. I am tormented in this flame. He's in fire. He said, what? Hell, you're gonna be in fire? Now you're getting a little bit more of the picture. Do you think you would be tormented if you were constantly being inflamed? Imagine. You said, I've seen pictures where they used to put witches, they called it burning them at the stake. They had them tied up and they had fire on them and they were burning them. Just imagine burning. You're not burning up. You're like the burning bush. You're going to continue to burn, but you're not going to burn up and you're not going to die because you're dead already. But you'll feel the pain of it, like this man did. He says, I am tormented. And let me tell you something else. Have you ever wanted anything to drink? I didn't say thirsty. You just wanted something to drink. And I don't care if it's soda, juice, or whatever it might have been. Now, of all the times you have drank anything, not even including when you were th really thirsty, but if you want to throw that in, just think about when you were thirsty. How many times do you think if you just put the tip of your finger, I didn't say your finger, I said the tip of your finger in water or juice or whatever it is you wanted, and let a drop come down, you think that would have been enough to satisfy you? You said, no, that ain't nothing. That ain't enough to do nothing. Yet, this rich man was in such torment, in this flame, in hell, that he said, if you would just dip the tip of your finger, then I can get a drop of water. My Lord, have mercy. He said, if he had put his whole finger in there, you would have got something. He said, just put the tip of your finger in your water and let me get a drop. He was tormented in that type of situation, in hell, in flame. And if I can just get that much, I ain't saying that was satisfying, but that's all he wanted. He's giving you an example of how much torment he was in. And that's only just talking about that part. We could get deeper, but I just want to paint this little picture for you. We need to know this about this place that some of you may be saying, well, if I go to hell, I'll go to hell. I just want to give you a picture of what this one person who's in hell, what it was like for them. Okay, since he's in torment, you desire mercy. You're in hell, yeah, you're going to desire mercy. Okay? And then fourthly, he said, he's talking to Abraham still. I pray thee. Oh, you in hell. You believe in prayer now. Yeah. Even though you might be making your prayers to the wrong person. Now, Abraham, like I said, Abraham wasn't the boss. You're going to say, Abraham, can you tell God? Abraham, he just focused on Abraham. Abraham, can you ask God for me? Have mercy and ask God to allow you. But no, his focus was right there. Well, Abraham, I pray thee, I beg of you. That's what he's saying. I beg of you. Oh yeah, you in hell, you'll pray. You may not have ever prayed before, but you'll pray then. And what did he say again in verse 27? He said, send, send Lazarus to my father's house. So now you're in torment. You're in torment. And I can't even say another word beyond it. That says it all. You're tormented in misery. Send. Send Lazarus to my father's house. I got five brothers there. I got five brothers. Send them to my father's house. Now he believes, okay, I want you to understand something. He believes in missionary work now. He believes in missionaries right now. Send Lazarus to my father's house. Why? The sixth thing, that he may testify. Oh, you believe in preaching now. You believe in hearing with those who have been through things, got to say. You believe in the words coming from those who have been through. So you believe if you send Lazarus to your father's house, that he might tell them what this place is like. He can help keep your brothers from coming here. A noble thought, you might be saying. He wants to have compassion. He's showing compassion and care for his brothers. You're saying that's a good thing. Well, let's go a little bit further. I want to go a little bit further. I want to see what conclusion you come to when we get to this sixth point. I want you to have him go this the seventh point. I want you to have Lazarus tell my brothers not to come to this place of torment. Oh. So basically you want Lazarus to testify and to teach, or choice to minister, to tell them not to come to this place of torment. So you see, once you're in hell, you would know what it is. You would know what hell is then. Okay? And you would know that it is not the place where you want to be, or you want anybody you care about to be. You know that then. And at that point, you, if there's anybody you care about, and take note that even though you're being tormented and you care, you have enough mental faculties in you to think about those you've left behind, to think about those that you care about. And you know you do not want them to come to this place. You have mercy. You want you said, I'm feeling merciful towards them. I'm feeling the love I have for them, the care I have for them. I don't want them to come to this place. You said, that's good. That's good. Only problem is it's a little bit too late. Once you've died, there are no more changes you can make. No more changes is going to be made for you. You find yourself in hell, you're not coming out. You're not coming out. You heard many a testimony of people who said they've been visited by those who were in hell and told them and warned them not to come there. That's a lie from the deceiver. Ain't nobody coming back. If the Lord doesn't bring you back, and I've not seen any testimony where he's brought somebody back that could be confirmed in the Word of God from hell, you ain't coming back. You're not. In any case, this man is pleading that Lazarus leave from his place of comfort to go back and tell them about hell. I don't want him to come here. Now, note he didn't say to tell them that they want to come to the place of comfort, of peace, but just to tell them not to go to hell. I'm going to try to see where this rich man is still going with all of this. Okay. Well, Abraham spoke to him. He told him, he said, listen, okay, there's Moses. There are prophets back there that can tell them the story. Tell them what thus says the word of God that was written for them at that time. But when you're in hell, going through the experience of hell, for all of a sudden, you know more than anybody else about it. For the eighth thing, he says, is not Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. Now he knew better than that than Abraham. Abraham said, there's Moses and there's prophets back there to tell them and warn them about this place. But he said, no, Abraham, it's somebody from the dead was to tell them they will repent. Now you're saying to yourself, wait a minute. He getting mighty close. He getting mighty close. Talking about what Jesus did. He getting mighty close. Oh, let's go on, y'all. We get some of y'all getting something here. The ninth thing. I told y'all I was moving on. He said, now this is what Abraham continues to say to this rich man. If they hear not Moses and the prophets, I want you to listen to these words. Neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Now, I like how Abraham worded that. Now, look who we're talking about. Abraham. He is talking to Abraham, who was living well before even Moses was born. Do y'all hear what we're saying? He's talking to Abraham and told them, and he told this rich man who was living during Jesus' time. Y'all reading about him in the New Testament, aren't you? Is it the book of John, the Gospel of Rabbi of Luke in the New Testament? And he said to him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. And y'all saying, oh my Lord, he just took him all the way from when he Abraham was around to where Jesus is. Persuaded. Some people tend to forget what Jesus did in the flesh, how he left his place in glory to walk here among us, among men in the flesh. How he suffered, bled, died, rose again, and then ascended into glory for you, for me, for the world. Not all of the world, he knew, but that's another story. But he did it, making the way so that anyone in the world can come to him. Oh yes, he knows that everyone is not, but the way is there for them. Was the way there so that Hitler could, yes, Hitler could turn to God. Could Jeffrey Dahmer turn to God? Yes, he could turn to God. The vilest person you could think of, as long as he did not deny the very being of God, long as he did not blaspheme the Holy Spirit, can come to God. He made the way for them to come, knowing full well that all would not. But he said, but if you will, in your heart, come to me, believe me, believe in me, I will receive. Invite Jesus to always say, if you invite me in, I'll come. He's not going to force his way. You invite me in, I'll sup with you. And you with me, we'll fellowship. We'll commune together. I'll dwell in you. I'll do that. But I don't see, even though this man is in hell, he cried out to Abraham. He still didn't cry out to God. Not that he was coming out, but even still then he didn't cry out. He didn't ask that you would send the word, warn my brothers to obey what is being taught, minister to them out of the word of God. No, he just wanted to tell them about this place. Man always wants the inside track or an inside track. He always wants to know the outcome, but he doesn't want to listen. It's right there. It's right here in the Word of God. He was showing you and is showing all of us the outcome if you choose to go to hell. And it's your choice because you don't have to go. Those of you who are going around with so nonchalant, so cavalier about hell, like as if that is the only choice to make. It is not. You trying to tell me that you have an opportunity to spend eternity with the Lord, to spend an eternity with God, and you will not take it? And all you have to do is believe in your heart that God sent his only begotten son to this place, to earth, for you. A sinner. He didn't wait till you were saved. He didn't wait till you believed in him. He didn't even wait until you heard about him. He came here while you were yet in your sin, while you are yet still in it, some of you. He still came here to save you, to make a way for you to spend eternity with him, to make a way for you to avoid having to go to hell. Yet, he still won't accept him, won't receive him. Oh, this does not make me or any, I believe any true gospel preacher angry, but it makes us sad. It makes us sad when we see those that we know, those that we care about, those that we love, still refuse to accept the only way that you can avoid going to hell, to still feel as though that the only option for you is hell when this is all over with, because you refuse to hear what thus says the word of God from those who are truly preaching and teaching and ministering the word of God. I'm going to say these few things to you, beloved, and I'm done. I'm going to just say these. Once a person is in hell, some of the terrible things they're going to realize about it is this. One, hell is a place where the fire will never go out. In Matthew, the third chapter, one of the latter portions of the 12th verse, it simply says he will burn up the chaff with what? unquenchable fire, unquenchable fire. And in Mark, the ninth chapter, the 43rd verse, it says, "It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into fire that never shall be quenched." Never. Never. Hell is a place that will be just like it is for eternity. Don't think it's gonna change. It's gonna be just like it is. In Matthew the 25th chapter, the 46th verse, it says, "And these shall go away into everlasting punishment." Everlasting. Never in everlasting. Y'all get this. Okay. "And the smoke of their torment," the smoke that is that's coming from where they're being tormented, "ascendeth up forever." You say, "Wow, forever." Wait a minute. Forever and ever. I don't know how much longer that is. Once you get to forever, I don't know how much, but he said forever and ever. My Lord have mercy. Somebody said that's just like forever and a day. My God. "And they have no rest day or night who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name." In Revelation, the 14th chapter, 11th verse, you'll read that. Those who want to do these different things and wind up in the place of torment, you do that. No rest. I want you to think about this. In torment all the time. You can't say, "Well, you're in torment, you know, until I finally fall asleep." There is no sleep. There is no rest. I want you to get this. Please get this in your head, in your mind. There is no rest. Not in hell. There is no breeze every now and then. Do you realize that God said to you, "Listen, I'm gonna send a nice cool breeze here in hell. Every million years, you will rejoice. You will rejoice and say, 'Oh, praise you. Thank you, God. At least I know that in a million years from now, I'll get a breeze.'" Is that in your head? You said a million years. And even then, that won't even be the dawn of eternity. If God gave you that, won't even be the dawn of eternity. Your days would still have just begun in eternity, in hell. My Lord, have mercy. Hell is a place of such terrible torment. Now listen to this, that the people there will be hollering and going mad. Listen. "And he cried and said, 'Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame.'" Didn't we just read that in the 24th verse, in the 16th chapter, the 24th verse of Luke? I'm tormented. He's going through torment. What is he going through? He's going through the flame, the pain, the fire of that flame. Okay. Tormented with fire and brimstone. Okay. He said, "My Lord, have mercy. Have mercy." Okay. "And shall cast them," watch this, "into a furnace of fire. There shall be" what? "Wailing and gnashing of teeth." Y'all seen dogs. Or pictures of dogs, see, right? They just foaming at the mouth. Can you imagine doing that all day long, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year? No let up. No let up at all. No let up at all. Hell's a place where the Lord and his angels will witness your torment. The same shall drink, now watch this, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. Now watch this, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. Revelation 14th chapter, the 10th verse. Oh, it's not a good picture, is it? Okay. My sisters and my brothers, listen, I'm saying this here and I'm finished. Just as sure as you might take heed to the research that you took when you look into the place that you're planning on traveling to or the place you plan the vacation, okay? And look into how you're going to get there and all of that. You need to take heed to this research right here in the Word of God about the eternal place you're going to be traveling to if you do not accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. There's only two places to go, beloved. I'm not sugarcoating this, okay? I'm not going to tell you, well, is it? No. There's either hell or there's heaven. That's all. And the bad thing about hell, it goes from, as the old saying goes, from bad to worse. He said, what do you mean? Oh yeah, we're going from hell to the lake of fire. I put it like this. Imagine you're in a frying pan. You're cooking. You're in there under the fire, the hottest fire, or you're in that. Make it even better. You're tossed in that fiery furnace, okay? That the king had for like that, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You're thrown in there. Only thing the script was turned for them. For God walked in there with them. But imagine you're in that furnace, burning up. Then they say, okay, don't come out the furnace. Throw him in a lake of fire. But come out the frying pan, move the frying pan, and just put him right dead into the fire itself. My Lord, have mercy. My Lord, have mercy. And that torment is always no letter. I don't know. I don't know what you can equate that with in your lives. Mothers may equate it with going through the labor of childbirth. And you say to yourself, I couldn't take that labor 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. But you'd be glad to have that labor compared to what you'll feel being in hell. You'll be glad. You think about the worst pain you've ever experienced here on this earth, and you'll be glad to have that pain as opposed to being in the torment of hell. And some of you saying, I don't want that. But beloved, why would you go through the aches and pains of this world? I don't care what they were. Knee pain, back pain, hip pain, going through different diseases, cancer or high blood, diabetes, and the effects of those. Go through all of that. How about going through heartaches, heartbreaks, disappointments, frustrations, all of this stuff, and then turn around, die, and go to hell too? Some of you are saying that's too much. Sure it is. And you don't have to experience that. For today, this day, if you would not neglect the opportunity to say to the Lord, yes, I realize I'm a sinner. You say to yourself, I wasn't all that bad. No, maybe you weren't. But I do realize most of all that I never accepted you as my Lord and Savior. Oh, I believe that you are, the Lord. I believe that you are the Savior, but I need to accept you as my Savior. I need to receive you as mine, and only way I have to do that. And I know that I need to be born again. I know that because you said in your word, you told Nicodemus that you must be born again. You cannot see the kingdom. You cannot enter into the kingdom unless you're born again. And that's what I want to be, Lord. I'm no good. You've already told me in the word of God, that it's not by my works that I could be saved. It's only by your grace. Lord, please extend your grace to me. Clean me up. Make me born again. That when the day comes, and I too must close my eyes on this side to open them into eternity, that I can see myself spending my eternity with you, with Lazarus, with that thief on the cross. And so many others that are looking forward to and have already come going on to glory with you. I want to be in that number. I want to be in that number. Take this opportunity today to accept the Lord as your Savior. Don't let it pass. Don't be like so many people that said, I'll wait till the night. And for some, that night never came. Maybe the death angel came in whatever way or form and visited them that day, and they never got a chance. Don't let it go by. It doesn't matter where you are. He said, well, I'm in my car now. Pull it over. You don't have to spend hours. Pull it over. Say, Lord, yes, I want to be born again. I need you to save my soul. And if you will, Lord, bless my children. Bless my home. Bless my spouse. Do so, Lord. I know that each person must confess for themselves. But Lord, touch them. Bless them. So that when they're able, if they're young children especially, you bless them to get older. When they're able to accept you, they will. If they're old enough to understand and be accountable now, be real in their lives, Lord. You've allowed me to be able to pray for my household, especially their fathers. So I'm praying for them, Lord, that you keep them, that you bless them, that you save them. And I thank you. Don't let this opportunity get by you, beloved. I hope and pray that you have asked the Lord to come into your heart, to be your Lord, to be your Savior. I hope that you really, really believe that He has come here to die for you. And you received that gift. That's what it was. Not of your of anything that you've done. It's because He loved you so much that that's what He did. You got to believe that and you got to receive it. And if you've done that, me and the angels in heaven are rejoicing because another soul that the devil thought he was going to get, he won't get today. God bless you. For those of you, I hope and pray that your question that we posed to you today in our sermon, as our subject has been answered for you. Is hell a place you really want to go to or recommend someone else to go there? God bless you. Heaven smile upon you.